Acts chapter 28 and verse 24. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. That happens still today. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. Verse 31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Verse 31 is the last chapter of Acts chapter 28. Can you put the first verse of Acts chapter 29 up there? We get the first verse of Acts chapter 29 up there. Oh, wait a second. There is no Acts chapter 29. That's what I want to preach to you about today. What happened to Acts 29? Whatever happened to Acts chapter 29? Praise the Lord. Lord, help us today. Speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you'd minister in this place. We want to see the book of Acts come alive in this day, in this hour. I believe there's a hunger. I believe there's a desperation, Lord, that we want to see your power move like never before. God, not only what you did in the book of Acts, but let it continue in even a greater fashion today. We give you praise and glory for it right now in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Please be seated today. Imagine what it would be like if the book of Acts wasn't in the Bible. If the book of Acts was missing, we would read through the Gospels and we would see the ministry of Jesus ending in the Gospel of John. And next we would read a book called Romans from a man named Paul who was writing to the followers of Jesus in the city of Rome. Now who was Paul? And how did the Gospel get from Jerusalem to Rome? Well, how did the church begin anyway? And what is the Holy Ghost? And how do we receive it? And why do we need it? The book of Acts answers all of these questions. Acts is the 5th book in the New Testament. It's the story of the church of Jesus Christ, which is built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The book of Acts is definitely one of the most exciting works of literature that has ever been written. And besides that, it is the inspired word of God. The book of Acts is the story of ordinary people, just like you and I, people that the Holy Spirit dwelt in and moved through to do God's work in this world. Acts is the story of good people and bad people, of sinners and saints, of rich and poor, of emperors and tent makers. It's a drama. It's a drama telling us how the believers in Jerusalem were spread over much of the world because of persecution. Acts is the story of missions and evangelism. It's a pattern for how we should reach our world today. Most of all, Acts is the continuing story of Jesus Christ and the rise of his church all over the world. Hallelujah. Think of all the obstacles facing the early church. They had no money. They had no proven leaders. No technological tools for spreading the gospel. There was no internet. Not even a printing press at that time. The church faced enormous obstacles. It was entirely new. They taught things that were entirely opposed to the pagan world. They faced the most hatred, the intense hatred and persecution. Their very lives were at stake. But in spite of everything that was against the church, God was for it. Hallelujah. And as the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Oh, have we forgotten whose church this is anyway? Faced with obstacles and up against strongholds and possessing limited resources, we often pay more attention to what's against us than what is for us. Oh, but I'm telling you today, God is not worried about reaching this world. He sent his Spirit to work through men and women and young people and even children. And he said, I'm going to do it. I am going to accomplish it through the power of the Holy Ghost. In spite of our shortcomings and limitations, we do well to remember today, if God be for us, who can be against us? If you've never read the marvelous book of Acts, I encourage you to go home and start today. It'd be a great place to start. And you should be able to read the whole book in maybe 5 or 6 hours. If you read 30 minutes a day, you should finish it in easily under 2 weeks. What a crucial and critical book that we be familiar with. And when we're reading the book of Acts, those characters, they come alive with the power of the Holy Ghost. Their names, their faces, their voices, they cry out to us the very heartbeat of God. And Luke, a physician from Macedonia and traveling partner of Paul, he wrote Acts as a letter to a Greek man named Theophilus. It was his second letter to him, the first being the Gospel of Luke. And reading both of these letters together, we have one ongoing story of Jesus Christ and his church here on the earth. And as we read through the book of Acts, and then as we near the end in chapter 28, we see how the church is spreading far and wide. It's covering the earth like a mighty heavenly rain. And even in Rome, along there with its evil emperor and those degenerate leaders of that day, Rome had been shaken by the power of the church. The ones that they called Christians were truly the hottest thing going in the whole planet in Acts chapter 28. Nothing had ever impacted so many people in such a short amount of time as in the book of Acts revival around the world. And so my question is to us here today, as we look to bridge the gap between the last verses of Acts chapter 28 that we read earlier today and now to this day, some 2,000 years later, if the church was the hottest thing going then what on earth has happened over the last 2,000 years? We read from Acts chapter 28 today, but what happened to Acts chapter 29? It would be logical to assume that at the close of Acts 28, that great movement would have continued, gathering momentum, spreading far and wide, and eventually the whole world would have fallen under the influence of the power of the Holy Ghost. If things were to continue on from the book of Acts, then surely we would have continued to see exponential growth and revival over the past 2,000 years. And yes, we are thankful for all that has been done for Jesus Christ. We praise God for those who've been mighty in the Spirit that have proclaimed Jesus far and wide. Thank God for those who have defeated Satan's kingdom again and again. There's been powerful churches. There's been powerful revivals that have shaken the foundations of hell. But I've just got to point out a little bit here today that if we put all of that together, every revival around the world today is just a drop in the bucket compared to the book of Acts. Why didn't it continue with the same fervency and passion? What happened? Oh, why did what started off as such a great world-changing beginning, why did it take a turn for the more routine and usual? Because gradually something shifted. Something changed. Instead of prayer and fasting and the moving of the Holy Ghost, somewhere along the way it became more about tradition and religious practices, the very thing that Jesus came to overturn. But it was a gradual shift, and that's how the enemy works. We don't notice it because it's so gradual. Small changes. Just little things, and we miss a day here or there of prayer. We're busy, you know. We've got a lot going on, and just a day or two a week that we don't pray, and we'll pick it up in a day or two again. But then that day or two becomes three or four or five or six, and then we'd never have thought we'd miss just one day of talking with the Lord, but we've gone now a whole week without prayer. And it's a gradual shift we didn't even notice, and too many have been lulled to sleep by the enemy's tactics, and now it's not just a week without prayer. They can't even remember the last time they really prayed. Oh, they might say a few words when they come to church, and they might even go to the altar here and there, but they're lacking spiritual depth because they're missing a prayer life. Where did the New Testament church go wrong? What happened to Acts 29? Why did the revival fires grow cold? It must have been just as God told the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. He said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. But nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. God said, Ephesus, I see your works, all you've done for me. I see your patience, how you don't tolerate those who are wicked and evil. He said, I see how you've tested those who claim to be apostles, but they're not. And you've patiently suffered without fainting and without quitting. But he said, Ephesus, I've got something against you. Somewhere along the way, you left your first love. You don't love me. You don't love me or each other like you did at the first. But something has now shifted, and there's been a change. And maybe it was gradual, but oh, Ephesus, you need to repent. You got to get back to the way it was, or I will remove your candlestick. The enemy wants us to think that living for God is just living on easy street. That what God requires from us is not really very demanding. And we can just relax and take it easy, and we don't have to pray, and we don't have to push against the kingdom of darkness, and we don't have to fight the good fight of faith. Oh, just relax and just live the good life. That's how the enemy wins. That's how the church failed to continue on. Gradually, there was a shift until the church was no longer the church it had been in the beginning. I want to tell you, the truth is, God's requirements for us are actually very demanding. Jesus said, if we're going to follow him, we've got to take up our cross. Oh, that's not the kind of preaching you're going to hear in a lot of churches today. No, people want to know, how can I take it easy? How can I be comfortable? This walk with God, it better not put me out too much, and don't preach it too hard. Don't push too much. Don't ask for more than just the minimum from me. But God is looking for a people that will rise up to the level he requires. Come on, is there anybody here today that you hear the call of God to be more and to do more? Come on, to reach for more than where we're at right now. Hallelujah. We sang about it today, Matthew 22, 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. That's not just the minimum. That's above and beyond. We've got a ways to go to get there. But I'm reaching for it today. How about you? Lord, I want more of your spirit. I want more of your power. I'm hungry to see revival. I'm hungry to see the book of Acts happen here in this hour, in this generation. There's something inside of me that says, Lord, we've got to have it today. When we read the stories in Acts of those early disciples, it should convict us. Those early Christians, they had wholehearted devotion to God. They loved Jesus with absolutely everything they had. They totally renounced the world around them. They were completely sold out to their faith. They were willing to become wanderers and vagabonds, to live in dens and caves, to go through horrible persecution and torture, to even give their very life for what they believed in. And they faced more adversity than we could ever imagine. But that did not shut them down. It just spread revival even more. So what happened to Acts chapter 29? Somewhere along the way, somebody lost the passion. Somebody stopped pushing. Somebody quit praying. What's it going to take for us to get back there? Because the tendency is for us to resist anything that stretches us. We like to grumble if pastor calls for a special prayer meeting. Well, can you believe another night of the week? Much less a three-night revival. What do we really have to do that's more important, though? You know, come on, sit at home and feed our flesh. Some of the greatest revivals in history were in days where people worked 12, maybe 14 hours a day. Then they went straight to the house of God every night of the week. And that revival might go on 2 months, 3 months, or longer. And folks, I'm not saying we're going to do that, but we do need to have revivals every once in a while. And that was the kind of commitment that birthed the churches in the 1900s that we have our roots in. Hallelujah. Folks, I want to tell you, there's got to be more than just average. There's got to be more than just status quo. There needs to be a hunger. There needs to be a passion. There needs to be a desire that, God, I'm not content just to be where I've always been, but I'm hungry to see the book of Acts come alive. Come on, I'm preaching to some people that you've never seen a miracle, but you better get ready because God is working. I'm preaching to some people, you've never prayed with somebody as they received the gift of the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues, but I'm telling you, get ready because God is pouring out his spirit in a mighty way. Come on, church, it's time to see revival. It's time to experience all that God has for us. Now, as pastor, I feel the pressure, okay? I sense the resistance. Don't push too hard. Don't require too much. Don't add another service. Don't ask people to sacrifice, you know. Don't take a special offering. I feel it. You know, don't make that push for people to invite others to church. When Brother Tim Massengill came a few months back, and we started a program called the Society of Soul Winners. Man, that sounds awesome, doesn't it? The Society of Soul Winners. And a simple text each week to remind us and encourage us to simply hand out church cards. I even got pushback from that. Well, who is he to think that he needs to ask us if we've handed out a church card? It wasn't about that. It was just to remind us. And every time that I've had to put a zero, I was like, ooh, I got to do better this next week. How many of you have been there? But people don't want to feel that conviction. They don't want to be accountable. They don't want to be reminded. Just let us stay comfortable where we are. Oh, the pressure's on the pastor. Don't tell people to take up their cross and follow Jesus. Come on, help them take it easy. Just preach a good word and pray they be healed and able to walk in the favor of God, and just bless them and send them on their way and help them to feel good. And folks, I know there's other churches that you can go to that won't push like this, but there's something inside this pastor that just can't take it easy. Come on, we just can't coast along through the end time. Come on, we've got to be the Acts 29 revival for our world. This is not just a social club. This is not just a feel-good place. No, we've got to see miracles. We've got to see signs and wonders. We've got to see this church grow. We've got to reach our city. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So God demands some things from us. God expects some things from us if we want to be his people. He wants there to be some changes in our life. And when we come into the church, we can't just expect to stay like we've always been. Who does God think asking me to change the way that I live, you know? Well, he is the one that died for us. We have it so easy. We really do. Anything he requires of us, it's not to hurt us. It's to bless us. It's to keep us. It's to help us. He's not holding us back from something. He's releasing us into the destiny that he has for us. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, there's blessings in what God has required of us. It's a blessing to not have to wonder if Dad's going to come home at night, or if he's going to be out all night spending his paycheck out on the town. It's a blessing not to have to worry if that party drug could be laced with something else and you could end up lying cold on the floor, them trying to give you Narcan to get you back to life. That's a blessing. It's a blessing not to have to worry if one of the endless count of illicit hookups may have given you some STD that can't be cured. That's a blessing. Let me tell you a blessing, having young ladies and girls that dress like ladies instead of, can I just say it, like prostitutes, and guys that are gentlemen that are set apart from the world. Hallelujah. The standards of holiness that God requires, they're guardrails that keep us safe. Yes, he demands some things from us. He requires some things from us, but it's for our good. Hallelujah. Oh, I hope we're getting this today. God expects some things from us. That's why we were created, to bring God pleasure, to fulfill his purpose. I don't want to be one of those who for years and years they just nag and complain about everything God expects from us, criticizing the pastor for preaching the word and bashing the church for standing for truth, and oh, good at grumbling and griping about everything. But what have we done for Christ? Have we ever taught a Bible study? Help us, Lord. Have we sacrificed? Do we have a burden for souls? How is our prayer life anyway? We need to read the book of Acts through this week. Read it with a hunger. Read it with the desire that, God, I want to see that happen in my life, in my family, in my church. Come on. Lord, let this church be the book of Acts experience for the world today. Hallelujah. We need to pray as we read it. Lord, open my eyes, open my heart, open my vision so that I can grasp hold of this with everything I've got. Hallelujah. Jesus made the most expensive investment you could ever make. Giving his life, shedding his blood, dying on a cross for us while we were still sinners. And he's looking for a return on that investment. Will we answer the call? Will we listen? Will we respond? Or will we turn a deaf ear today? I hope we haven't forgotten the Great Commission. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We are to go and make disciples. Today, sometimes we get to thinking, well, it's sit and let God bring the disciples to us. It's come to church where we're comfortable and just let God reach the world and bring them to us. No, we are to go. We are to go. Jesus commanded us to go, not to take it easy. There's over 500,000 people in the Springfield-Branson area, the majority of whom have never heard the truth of the gospel. Someone once said, why should anyone have the right to hear the gospel twice until everybody's heard it once? And so we can come and we sit through sermon after sermon and moves of the Spirit and great services and hearing the good news over and over again. And yet we're never moved and we're never changed because we're so full of the blessings of God. Oh, come on. Where are those in this city that they've never heard that there's hope? They've never heard that they can be free. They've never heard that Jesus died for them and wants to save them from their sins. Come on. They've never heard that there's freedom and repentance and baptism and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We've got to get this. We've got to receive this. And we've got to go. Come on. We've got to go. It is pressing upon us, the souls of this city. And if we don't get this, if we don't receive this with a passion, if we don't embrace this and live this ourselves, I tell you what will happen. God will say, I'll find somebody else to do it. I'll find somebody else to do it. Oh, I'm thankful for the heritage God's blessed me with of my ancestors that lived this apostolic truth. And oh, I'm so thankful for the sacrifices they've made and the blessings that I've had because of their sacrifice. But I want to tell you what, I can't let this go myself. I can't just ride on what they've done. I can't ride on their sacrifice. No, there's a call going forth today that says there's still revival to be had. There's still miracles. There's still signs and wonders. I want to tell you, young people, you got to catch hold of this, because if you don't, there'll be somebody else that says, hey, I'm hungry for it. I want to see it happen. I'll pray. I'll sacrifice. I'll give my life to Jesus. Praise the Lord. I looked over today. We were singing one of those songs. I looked over Brother Devin, and he's over here. He's got his hands lifted, and he's just cried out to the God. So, man, I want to tell you, that's awesome. That's awesome. If we don't get this, there's a whole lot more Devins out there. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I'm excited. I want a bunch of Devins here, but I don't want to lose the rest of us in the process. We've got to get hold of this. We've got to buy the truth and sell it not. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, is anybody hungry for revival? Is anybody hungry for a breakthrough? Is anybody hungry to see the miraculous? Is anybody hungry for the book of Acts? I wonder if we could stand to our feet right now and say, Lord, let it happen in this church. Let it happen in my life. Let it happen in my family. I want to see it happen, Lord. I want to experience a book of Acts revival. I want to be the continuation. I want to be Acts chapter 29. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, I don't know about you, but my prayer is, God, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Those early Christians gave their all. Come on, they were running after lost people with everything, pulling them from the fire. God, whatever it takes. Don't let us be passive. Don't let us be lazy. Make us an aggressive generation for you. Come on, let the experienced church be alive and well, continuing miracles and signs and wonders from the book of Acts. Let this church be a continuation of the New Testament church. The book of Acts, chapter 29, written today. We've got to get this. We've got to receive this. We've got to live this. We've got to pray this. We've got to believe this. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I'm closing right now, but I want to tell you, it doesn't happen without commitment. It doesn't happen without sacrifice. There's a price to be paid. There's a cost of revival. Praise the Lord. How many of you would be willing to say, Lord, if you'll put a burden in my heart, I'll pray for somebody every day that needs this truth? Come on, would you say that? I'll pray for that family every day that, God, you'll open a door for me to teach them a Bible study. I'll pray for that friend every day, Lord, that you'll soften their heart and there'll be a moment and a time where they reach out and they say, what do I need to do to be saved? And you can say, well, let me tell you. I'm going to go to the book of Acts and show you. Hallelujah. Come on. Lord, give us a burden for someone. Give us a burden for our neighbors. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come here, Henry. Come here, Colt. You don't know it, but I've prayed a lot of prayers for you and your family. Before you ever came to this church, before he ever invited you to church, I was praying for y'all. You know why? Because I see potential in you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I see. I don't even know for sure what all God's going to do in your family, but I'm praying for all of y'all. Amen. It's exciting. It's exciting to see the work of God. And a young man invites his friend to come, and he starts coming and learning about the Lord and getting baptized. God's going to fill him with the Holy Ghost. It's awesome. It's awesome. Hallelujah. But the point goes back to, I think he was praying for you, and I know I was praying for your family. Amen. Can you take 5 minutes out of your day to pray for a soul that needs to know that there's hope, that there's something better for them, that there's freedom from the stuff they're stuck in? Come on. There's some people that they don't realize there's a way out of their problems. They think that getting up and going to work to make a little money so they can go out and party and then just do it all over again, they think that's really living. I want to tell you today, there's more to life than that. And you have the answer. You have this treasure. Come on, somebody. We need to realize God has put us in this day, in this hour, for this generation, so that God can use us to be the church. All right. I don't know how many church cards we've got out there, but we're going to have to order more because now we're changing our Nixa service time. So I challenge everybody to get you 5, 10, 15, 20, or 50. We need to clear those things out. All right? Brother Raymond, you could help us. There's probably more in a box, and we can put all those out. I challenge you that this week our Society of Soul Winner report is going to be like, whoa, what happened there? Something changed. Instead of 30 or 50 or 75, all of a sudden we're going to talk about hundreds of cards being handed out. Praise the Lord. It's time to reach this city. It's time to have revival. Come on, it's time to push. It's time to push. I'm tired of the kingdom of darkness pushing and the church just taking it. It's time we start pushing back. It's time we start praying like we've never prayed before. It's time we start believing God for it to happen today. Praise the Lord. All right, we're closing today. We're going to pray for people. God, give me a burden for my neighbor. Give me a burden for my friend, my coworker, my family, whatever it is. And we're going to pray for them every day. God, open a door for me to reach them, teach them a Bible study, me to bring them to church. Lord, man, if we can catch this, there's about to be fire in the city of Springfield, in Nixa. Amen. I'm telling you what, there's something about to happen in Nixa, folks. You need to be praying with us. You need to be believing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, we've preached about it, and now we're going to pray for it. If you're here today and you need a miracle in your life, in your family, I'm talking about a miracle. This is a church that believes in miracles. Amen. We've got a family right here. They had a miracle this last year. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is a pastor that believes in miracles. Amen. I've had a miracle this last year. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful 3 or 4 days this week, walking, running, jogging, more than I've ever done before, feeling great, ready to go a little more. Praise the Lord. Folks, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that before. I didn't tell everybody how bad it was, but I'd get on that treadmill, and then I'd have to pause, and I had to bend over and be like, oh, what's going on? And then I'd push through a little bit more, and that was not good. Brother Wiggins is, yeah. But something's changed. I was having AFib at least once a month, if not more. I hadn't had it. God healed me of that. 8 months. Praise the Lord. 8 months. 8 months. It's been that long. Isn't that crazy? I was tossed in the water. I kind of disagree with the song a little bit. I went under a little bit. But he was right on time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there anybody here today that you need a miracle? I want you to come. I want you to line up here across the front, and we're going to believe with you. You need a miracle in your family. You need a miracle in your finances. You need a miracle in your health. Maybe there's a problem that you just know you can't work out. It's a God thing that you need God to move. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, the Lord's able. And we're going to believe that he's going to do it here today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we're just standing on your word right now. You said that greater things would we do than even that you did, Lord. And so we're going to pray the prayer of faith for these needs. We're going to believe you across this house that there's going to be healings, there's going to be miracles, there's going to be signs and wonders, God. We're not able to do these things right now, Lord. This is something that's beyond our ability, but Lord, nothing is impossible unto you, and we're asking that you would do it. You said if we would believe, if we would ask, that we would receive it, and so we're going to ask today in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you would do it right now. Let it begin right now. Let it start right now. Put the pieces into motion right now, I pray, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, I praise you and I worship you for it. Hallelujah. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to praise the Lord for it. I praise you for doing it right now. I praise you, Lord, for working in this situation and doing the impossible. I thank you, Lord, for changing hearts and minds. I thank you, Lord, for providing. I thank you, Lord, for providing. I thank you, Lord, for financial blessings. I thank you for the favor of the Lord in Jesus' name. Come on, I'm praying for families right now. I'm praying for kids right now, lost children that are far from God. But Lord, you're going to start it right now. Lord, there's angels going to where those kids are. There's angels going to where those families are right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray you would send them, send those angels, Lord, to minister and to prepare the way. God, I pray that you would do it. Let there be a mighty revival in the families represented here right now.